He takes away the sinful reaction of his devotees. who are thus entitled to experience the inconceivable bliss of the kingdom of God even while remaining in this world. The words bhaktya, sanjataya, bhaktya indicate there are two divisions of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti and raganuga bhakti. Srila Prabhupada has elaborately explained in his book, The Nectar of Devotion, the progress of the devotee from sadhana bhakti or the execution of the regulative principles to raganuga bhakti, or service executed in love of Godhead. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a liberated soul is always enthusiastic due to the appearance of transcendental ecstasy within his body. Thus he always aspires to remain overwhelmed in chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead, Hari. Om Agyanatimandasya Agyananjana Shilakya Chakshurumrutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, sorry for the spontaneous class, it's not really prepared for it. Try my best to glorify Krishna. So, in this verse we see that it is described about the devotees of the Lord. So this verse talks about the devotees of Krishna. So this verse talks about how the devotees are glorifying Krishna all constantly and they remind each other of Krishna. So if we are glorifying somebody, that means that person, that has to be a person. So glorification means glorification of a person. So glorification can't be impersonal. It's like if we are into something, if we like something, then we glorify that object or whatever we are into. So like materialists, they are basically into sense gratification. So they glorify sense gratification. We see wherever we go, there are billboards. They're glorifying sense gratification. You buy this product, you need this, you need that. So similarly, devotees, they're constantly glorifying Krishna, because Krishna is a person, but Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, because Krishna is full in six opulences. So to be the personality of Godhead, one has to be full in six opulences: wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, knowledge, beauty. Whereas we also possess these opulences, but to a minute degree. Whereas Krishna, he possesses these all six of these to an infinite degree. That's why he's the personality of Godhead. So the devotees of the Lord, they're constantly discussing the glories of the Lord amongst each other. And there's that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Satsanam Kirtayantu Mam Yadanta Shagrila Vataha, that devotees are always glorifying Krishna. They are endeavoring with great determination, and they are offering obeisances to Krishna. In this way, my devotees, they constantly remember me and glorify me. So this is the symptom of a devotee. That one who is a devotee, he'll be anxious to glorify Krishna, because Krishna is a very life and soul. And there's that verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. Machita mat gata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantas cha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So in this verse you can also see that, you know, what is the business of a devotee? So, you know, once Prabhupada said, he said, our business is preaching Krishna consciousness, something along those lines, Prabhupada said. You know, like devotees were, they were getting a bit materialistic, like, you know, they were selling, instead of books, they were selling other things, which was not required. So Prabhupada said, our business is to preach Krishna consciousness. So, you know, that is the sign of a devotee. He is always eager to glorify Krishna. So here in this purport, Prabhupada says that in the preliminary stage of devotional service, one takes pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage, that the devotee is actually situated in love of God. So, like, you know, when we come to Krishna consciousness, I can say for myself, I struggle to chant Hare Krishna because I don't have an attachment to the holy name of the Lord. So in the beginning stages, you know, we are attached, we derive pleasure from the service. Because, you know, and Prabhupada is so expert, he tapped this potential of ours. Because in the beginning we are not, you know, attracted to chanting Hare Krishna like Hare Das Sakur, you know, chanting 24 hours a day and non-stop. How many hours she chanted? 192 hours. Hare Das Thakur chanted. So, you know, we can't do like that. So that's why, you know, first Prabhupada said, okay, you chant 64 rounds. But the disciples said, this is impossible. You know, 64 rounds, that's how many hours? 2, 4, 6, 6, 7 hours. You know, that's impossible. Then Prabhupada said, okay, 32 rounds. And they said, oh, this is difficult, you know, 32 rounds. That means 4 hours over time. And then Prabhupada said, okay, 15 rounds, that's it. You know, no, we're not going any lower than that. So Prabhupada knew that, you know, we cannot basically hear and chant all day. So that's why Prabhupada knew we are attached to doing things. You know, we want projects, we want to. That's why actually Krishna consciousness is very attractive, because there are so many different ways how to attract people to Krishna consciousness. You know, there's like love preaching, there's Harinam, book distribution, there's college preaching. You know, one can devise so many ways of preaching Krishna consciousness. And there's so many activities, like in the temple. There's deity worship, you know, management, cleaning, there's so many things. So there's so many ways by which one can engage one's senses in serving Krishna, or in ultimately attracting people to Krishna consciousness. That's what this one is meant for. So Prabhupada very cleverly he engages in this way, and by doing that gradually we get purified, because that is Krishna's service, that is non different from Krishna. So when we engage in devotional service, one gets purified, and then gradually we develop a taste for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So my spiritual master gives this example that Krishna consciousness is like a wide funnel, you know. There's so many ways to attract people, but then ultimately it boils down to this narrow tunnel, which is chanting Hare Krishna. So ultimately we have to develop an attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Because we are telling everyone, you know, this movement, the name of this movement is the Hare Krishna movement. So we are telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna. You know, all these different preaching activities, ultimately they're coming down to the point of chanting Hare Krishna, of glorifying God. And so ultimately one has to develop an attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, in the long run, it becomes difficult to maintain all these other services unless the attraction is there for chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because in this age of Kali, this is the prime means of advancing. You know, as Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, Kalau Nasteva, Nasteva Eva Gata Anita. Gata? So the only way to make advancement in this day and age of Kali is by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, or the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There's no other way. So, you know, ultimately everything boils down to chanting Hare Krishna. That's why devotees of the Lord who are seriously making advancement, they'll keep aside some time to chant Hare Krishna. Because Krishna is not different from his name, and Krishna is present in his name. So when we are chanting the name of the Lord, it's like, you know, we are in a relationship with the Lord. My spiritual master, he also gives this example quite a lot, that when one is in a relationship with a woman, so, you know, one has to pay full attention. In a relationship, one has to pay full attention. Otherwise, the relationship, you know, breaks away over a period of time. Otherwise, it becomes impersonal. You know, just like if the other person is telling you something and you're looking here and there, you know, so then other person will lose interest. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna, we should try. It's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. That we should actually endeavor to chant Hare Krishna with attention, and that will infuse us in all our other activities in Krishna consciousness. So that's why we have the Society of Krishna Consciousness, in which devotees can get together and basically glorify Krishna. That's why it's called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Society means a place where people gather for some particular interest. Just like there's so many societies, there's the bike societies, you know, there's virtually unlimited societies out there. You know, there's so many examples. There's the business societies. So this is to encourage each other to pursue a particular field. You know, like there's universities, you go there, there are people of the like-minded people who are pursuing a similar career as you are. So in Krishna, so that's why Prabhupada named this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Prabhupada didn't name it, actually somebody said, why don't you name it as International Society for God Consciousness? Why are you naming it Krishna Consciousness? But a devotee is one who is always glorifying the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That he is hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not about anything else. So a devotee is one who is always hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's why Prabhupada named it as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because in this society, Krishna is being constantly glorified. You know, like from morning to evening, if we analyze, morning we offer Guru Vastakam prayers, then we chant Hare Krishna, this Kirtan, and this glorify Lord Vishnu there. Then we chant Hare Krishna, Japa, then again Kirtan, as we had very nice Kirtan today, very enthusiastic. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And then devotees go about, you know, spreading Krishna's glories around. So there's constantly chanting about Krishna. There's glorification of Krishna. So Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. So that's the sign of a devotee. So also we see that that the devotees of the Lord, they're actually Mahatmas. And as Krishna tells in the purport to Satyam Kirtayantama, Prabhupada mentioned that a Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. So there's one Mahatma, those who are devotees. And other than Mahatmas, are the impersonalists. They are also worshipping God, but in an impersonal way. So here Prabhupada said, one who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. So an impersonalist is one who is engaged in the sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge. So in other words, an impersonalist is a jnani. You know, jnanis, they are engaged in cultivating the knowledge of the impersonal aspect of Brahman, and they want to merge with the Lord. And as Krishna says, there are four types of people who come to him. There is the distressed, the inquisitive, those who are in need of money, and those who are in search of the absolute truth. So, but apart from that, there is the impersonalists, who are of three categories again. You know, the first one is The first one is those who consider themselves to be God and they worship themselves. This is that kind of a personism. And there's that, there are those who consider any form of, there are those who consider anyone to be a particular demigod and they worship him as the supreme. And the third one is those who worship the Vishwaroop or the universal form of the Lord. And Prabhupada says the worst one is one who thinks he is God and he worships himself as God. That's the lowest amongst those three. And the highest amongst those three is those who worship the universal form of the Lord. So, some people they think the universe is all in all. So the universe is the supreme living entity. So actually they are the highest amongst those three. But the devotees of the Lord, the Mahatmas, they are always engaged in glorifying Krishna. And in this verse says, and by the devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. So another name of Krishna is Hari. Hari means he who takes away. So here this verse says that he who takes away the inauspicious results, or Krishna takes away the sinful, our sinful activities, the reactions to the sinful activities. And not only that, if one engages in glorifying Krishna, Krishna takes away the desire, this pastime of, is it ajamil or? That atonement one is. No, one can atone, but still the desire for sinful activity is still there. What pastime was that?
Just for the.
Or the end of the fifth candle.
Yeah.
There's this prayaschita, it's called, or atonement. We see also in the Christian tradition, people atone for their sinful activities. Every Sunday they go to the church. So they atone before the priest. I've done this and this. So he says, okay, you chant certain rounds of the rosemary, and then you can atone for that. But then again, because the desire is there to perform sinful activity, so Monday to Saturday again they perform the sinful activity. So Prabhupada says that this kind of atonement is not actually very good. It is, the example is given of an elephant. Like an elephant takes a bath in the lake, it comes out and again throws sand on itself. So because the desire for sinful activity is still there, but when one engages in bhakti yoga, our desire also gets purified. So gradually one can give up sinful activities forever like that by purifying the desire. And then Krishna's name is Hari, who takes away all inauspicious results. And it's interesting, this purport also says the chain of sinful reactions is also called bhoga, or a relentless wave of suffering. So it's interesting they've used the word relentless, like no mercy. It's the suffering which comes relentlessly. He takes away the sinful reactions of his devotees, who are thus entitled to experience the inconceivable bliss of the kingdom of God, even while remaining in this world. So, sometimes people, they can't understand Hare Krishna. They can't understand that you can get inconceivable bliss. Inconceivable. The thing, because people there, they try to enjoy, they get frustrated. And they think there's no bliss in this world. You cannot get inconceivable bliss. The thing in this world is happiness is very limited. It comes and goes. And so they apply this concept to spiritual life also. So similarly in spiritual life also there can't be any full bliss. That's why they take spiritual life to be impersonal. You know, because there's no bliss in material life, therefore they won't be in spiritual life. But actually, devotees of the Lord, when they engage in chanting Hare Krishna or discussing the glories of the Lord or reading Srila Prabhupada's books, even in the sadhana bhakti stage, we can see that even sadhana bhakti is joyfully performed. What to speak of raghavendra bhakti? So, you know, I was hearing a lecture by Radhanath Swami in which he was saying that actually discipline brings joy. So, you know, when people look at Krishna consciousness, they think so many rules. Like yesterday I went to the bank, so the lady behind the counter, she asked me, do you intoxicate? I said, no, we intoxicate on spiritual food. We intoxicate on baloney juice. Then she asked me, do you have a girlfriend? I said, no. In other words, she was indirectly asking me, do you engage in sex practice? I said, no. So then she asked me, what do you do? What do you do for fun? You know, just directly asked me, in front of everyone at the counter. I said, we chant Hare Krishna. And we go about telling others about Krishna. This is our fun. So they cannot imagine that, you know, by doing such simple activities, you can get inconceivable bliss. You know, and they think there's so many rules and regulations. Then they ask me, what's your lifestyle? What do you guys do? You know, I say we get up early, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we go for Mangala Arati prayers. We glorify Krishna, and we meditate for a couple of hours. And then we have this morning program, where we chant and dance before the deity. And we have a talk every morning, Bhagavatam talk, where somebody speaks about Krishna. And then we have prasadam, and we then go about, you know, different devotees are rostered for different services. So some are going preaching here, there, you know. So, you know, like, she was bewildered, you know, when I told her all this. Like, you know, how do you guys do this? Like, where's the happiness in this? There's so much, it's very regimented. It's so regimented. Then we study Prabhupada's books, and just basically go to bed, and next day get up, do the same activity again, day in, day out, year after year. So, you know.
It's a little attractive, right?
So the point is that the materialists, they cannot conceive that how you can get bliss from discipline. And Radhanath Maharaj was saying that actually discipline, it brings joy. Because Krishna consciousness is joyfully performed. Even in sadhana bhakti, you get a lot of bliss. So just like you get up early in the morning for Mangal Aarti, you know, it can be an austerity, like in the winter, getting up at 3:34, you know, running out in the cold, taking a shower, then coming to the temple. But look at the positive side, you know. Who in the world, you know, gets to wake up in the morning and see the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha? It's the most attractive thing you can see, most beautiful thing. So in one sense there is discipline, but you know, people are out there, they're living, they get up 6, 7 or 4 or 5 in the morning. They don't see anything beautiful like, you know, Radha Vallabha, Gaur-Nitai, Jagannath Prabhu, Subhadra. You know, you cannot compare Krishna. They cannot compare to what we have. So chanting Hare Krishna, that can be an austerity sometimes. So, but actually, if we try to chant with attention, you know, we can one derive a lot of pleasure from that. You know, and who in the world, you know, honest prasadam like we do, you know, all devotees get up there together and honor prasadam together. It's such a nice experience. You know, always, you know, devotees are enjoying themselves. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. You know, externally it looks like very austere. But when one engages in it, then one actually derives bliss from all the discipline. So actually the discipline, Maharaj is saying, it brings joy to the devotees. So, but the core, the engine is the chanting of the Hare Krishna. It's like my spiritual master says, if you place the cart before the horse, then, you know, will become difficult after a while. So the horse has to be before the cart. So, or we don't have to cook on the smoke. We have to cook on the fire. So the fire is the chanting of the Hare Krishna. So in that way we can see actually that the process of Krishna consciousness is very joyful, and even within this lifetime we can experience spiritual ecstasies, provided if you follow the process of Krishna consciousness nicely. And the perfection here, as it says, standing of the bodily hairs and end. And actually even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjun's hair was also standing on end. So Prabhupada says there are two types of standing of hair on the end. One is because of material anxiety or due to material fear. So that breeds lamentation. Sometimes also materialists, you know, their hair stand on end, or tears are coming from their eyes. It is generally due to material fear, which arises such symptoms from the body. Whereas the sign of a devotee, you know, a devotee who has perfected Krishna consciousness, he will also exhibit these symptoms. But then we see that actually, sometimes we go to Vrindavan, we see devotees, they're rolling on the ground, they exhibit these signs of spiritual advancement or spiritual ecstasy. But actually, Prabhupada also says one who is fixed in his service, he might not exhibit these symptoms, but one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness in his service, he is actually an elevated soul. So like we didn't see Prabhupada, you know, his hair standing on end, or he would roll on the ground. And you know Prabhupada is a Paramahamsa. But Prabhupada was fixed in glorifying Krishna. So that's the sign of the devotee. So we'll just stop here and see if there are any questions, comments or corrections on the subject matter.
So you said like Prabhupada was Paramahamsa.
Hamsa means swan, and Param means topmost. So Prabhupada is the topmost swan. That's a Paramahamsa. So Paramahamsa is a very elevated stage. Actually, there are different types of sannyas. They go in order, I can't remember. And the topmost is Paramahamsa. There's Parivajakacharya. The Prabhupada is also called Jetesh Parivajakacharya. So the Lilamrita is one chapter. So Paramahamsas, and even Srimad Bhagavatam, it is meant for the Paramahamsas. It is Srimad Bhagavatam Amaram Puranam. That Srimad Bhagavatam is very relishable by the Paramahamsas, those who are the liberated souls. Like we see Shukdev Goswami. He was an impersonalist. Shukdev Goswami. But when he smelled the Tulasi leaves, and he also, Shukdev Goswami, he himself was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was taking pleasure in also Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the conditioned soul and for the Paramahamsa. So that's the Paramahamsa. And we also see Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. In the 12th canto, it says that Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very dear to the Vaishnavas, because Srimad Bhagavatam is free from the from dharma, artha, kama and moksha, the mundane religiosity, piety, economic development, sense gratification and ultimate impersonal liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of Krishna and his devotees. So that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is very delicious. And when it was spoken by Shukdev Goswami, it became even more delicious. And sometimes it's called shukha. Like, it's like a parrot. When a parrot bites a fruit, it is supposed to become more sweet or relishable. So when Shukdev Goswami, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, it became even more relishable to hear. So that's why Srimad Bhagavatam has to be heard from the right source, from devotees of Krishna. And the audience also has to be qualified, like Maharaj Parikshit. You know, Maharaj Parikshit was very eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually Maharaj Parikshit is so exalted that he actually exemplifies about the hearing process, how one should hear. He heard in rapt attention for 7 days, full attention, no eating, no sleeping. And can you imagine that? For myself, if I, after 1 hour I become restless. I'm looking at the watch, the time of prasadam, I have to go. But he heard with rapt attention Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he had a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. So the more we develop a taste for reading Srila Prabhupada's books, the more easier the process of Krishna consciousness will become. Any other questions? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.